We all want to do this or what?
Yikes. Okay, now we're going to start over because I had no output going to the broadcaster. Sorry about that. Okay, so this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Welcome to the show. You can catch me live on Saturdays, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on reallibertymedia.com or reallibertymedia.xyz. And anyway, I was just talking about some stuff I'm going to cover in today's show. One of the things is something I'm drinking right now, some tonic water, which actually has some pretty great health benefits that I had no idea that there were some tremendous health benefits to drinking tonic water. So that's kind of interesting. I'm going to be happy to share that with you. And then some other things that just help your body kind of fight viruses, because that's what we're kind of caught in the middle of right now. I'm a little bamboozled here. Had like a 5-minute audio delay. Sorry. Anyway, but we're back to it now, so everything is going to be fine. Let me find my chat programs right there. Yeah, thanks, Rob Works. Yeah, I didn't have any, my mic wasn't going out to freaking broadcaster. I have to remember to fix that. So it kind of does it automatically. Anyway, so the tonic water, and I was talking about how I've mixed it with grapefruit honey tea, which I only find at Costco in a half-gallon jar. And, of course, they sell two of them. And it's got that kind of grapefruit, little bit of bitterness to it. And then the honey makes it slightly sweet. And I've mixed it with tonic water. Delicious. So, and I'll be sharing why tonic water is really good for you later. I had no idea until a couple days ago. And I went and bought some tonic water. I don't know if any of you have ever just drank tonic water. It's not that good. But I don't know how much stuff that's good for you does actually taste good. I guess a lot of stuff, fruits and vegetables, you know, that kind of stuff. But anyway, this particularly has something in it that is very good at fighting viruses and making your body healthy. So I'll talk about that in a little bit. I wanted to mention my tremendous disappointment, which is no big surprise. I think for a long time we have kind of basically ridiculed institutions of supposedly higher learning. But now I think it's time that they cash in their higher learning card. I really do. I was actually reading an article this week about all of the restrictions in all of the different universities and colleges that are welcoming students back to class, and so many of the rules and regulations make absolutely zero sense. And you just wonder, you have to wonder to yourself, like, how could you possibly spend money or send your kids to these places that now have obviously basically shown themselves to be complete retards? The article that I was reading, for whatever stupid reason, I didn't put it in my show notes, and I didn't really want to go back and look for it, because it was just stuff like, getting these COVID tests and being fully vaccinated and getting your boosters, and you can't have visitors in your dorm, and you can't, so one place said you can't leave the campus to have lunch and then come back to the campus. And I'm thinking to myself, what college kids are going to actually obey all these ridiculous rules? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And why should they? Not only, will they and why should they, but why didn't, I still to this day can't understand why these these giant institutions that are supposed to be where we get like real information from, like where people actually study stuff and come up with results that they can reproduce and that they base, you know, stuff on, either policy or, you know, science findings or sociological, I don't want to say policies, but practices anyway. But really, it's not that big of a surprise when you look back at even the past. I was thinking back when I was in college, which was, I think, 1980. Yeah, like 1980. And I was kind of a rebel then, even, because I went to a university, and I guess, I don't know how long universities have been completely liberal. But I know when I went in 1980, yeah, it was pretty dang liberal. I mean, there were still at least some people who had some sense on campuses. But I remember, you know, having to defend myself quite a bit. Because I was one of those unusual people. You know, most college campuses have a bunch of high school grads going to their classes. Like, graduated from high school, went straight to college. I didn't do that. I graduated from high school, went in the service for 4 years, active duty, and then went to college. So I'd already lived as a grown man away from home, making my own decisions, you know, being responsible, handling my own money and wanting to get a good value for any money I spent. So when I went to college, I didn't go to college thinking, I'm going to pay tuition and somehow come out better for it. I went to college with this idea: I'm paying for something and I want to get the maximum value for it. So like my professors, I don't care that they were professors, they were actually working for me. You know, whereas you have a lot of kids going to college and they just see that professor as another teacher, another authority figure telling them how to think instead of teaching them how to think. And I think that's one of the biggest problems right now with youth in this country, with not only youth, but I mean a couple decades of people, a couple generations of people have no idea how to think critically. They have no idea how to solve problems. I mean, you can see it every single day. You look at people who are kind of stuck in a situation and they just don't know how to solve the problem. My wife was telling me, so we had some major flooding in the Pacific Northwest in the last week. I mean, there were a couple places that had like 9 inches of rain in 36 hours, which for here, pretty unusual. I'm going to have a drink. Hang with me here a minute. Oh my gosh, that's good. Well, that's really good. Anyway, so listen to this. This is so stupid. And I wish I would have seen it. But my wife did a good job of explaining it to me. And it was actually, I actually saw part of this. I don't know why I didn't see the other part, because I probably wasn't sitting there staring at the TV. I was probably listening and doing something else. And it was on the news. But anyway, so this car... Well, there was flooding. There was like 20 miles of Interstate 5, I-5, in Washington that was closed down because it was flooded. I mean, there's water, like tons of water over the road. You couldn't pass it. And then in some of the towns around I-5 on either side, they were also flooded. And there were cars that were swamped. So this guy had a rope attached to his Prius, which was, you know, up to the roof in water. And he was kind of on, well, let's say he was almost not standing in water. He was on asphalt. And he was trying to pull his Prius out of the water. Now, I don't know how Priuses work. I know they're electric. What do you call that? They're like electric and gas, I think. So they can, you know, they can go either way. But, you know, obviously it wasn't going to be running on gas. And I would assume, being electric, that once you've submerged it in water, it's probably not going to run very well, because I'm imagining that, you know, all those electrical components are short-circuited. I could be wrong. I mean, maybe they work well as a submarine. But anyway, this dude just had a rope attached to his Prius, and he was just pulling on it. And it didn't look like it was in neutral, or it didn't look like it was floating. So I'm not, and plus, you got to kind of wonder, what was he going to do with it once he got it out? Not that he was going to get it out, he wasn't. But, like, you have to ask yourself, what are you thinking? Like, what are you thinking? You know, what's the process? How, so this problem of your Prius being flooded up to the roof in water, how are you going, what are you going to do after you attach that rope, and if your scrawny ass could pull it out of water, which it couldn't, obviously, what are you going to do with it then? You're not going to start it, I'm 100% sure of that. I mean, maybe you could, maybe you're just going to, actually, this is probably true. He was probably going to take a blow dryer to it and dry it out so that maybe then it would run. I don't know. But, I mean, it's sad. Even my grandkids, who I'm very proud of, they, you know, they're typical grandkids. They're between age 3 and 11, basically. Four of them. Come up here every day. They know when they come here, they got to do chores. Yeah, they whine and complain about it, but they still do them. But still, sometimes they're presented with a problem, and you just want them to solve it. You just want them to think for themselves and solve the problem. And we encourage that. I mean, and their parents encourage that, which is awesome. Because they're not going to end up being stupid and not being able to solve problems. But man, you see a lot of adults who just can't solve problems. A lot of kids that have no idea how to get from point A to point B if there's an obstacle in the way. And, you know, that's kind of scary. But I guess really you don't really need that if you have somebody else telling you exactly what to do, what to say, where to stand, you know, get in line for your backs, get in line for your booster, you know, keep getting that booster, you know, you got to keep getting that vax because it sucks so bad it doesn't work on anything, but we're going to just keep giving it to you until you die. Or until everybody's had whatever disease we're vaccinating for. I was thinking today, it's kind of crazy. And I'm sure this has happened, but I just don't remember it being this common. So, you know, when you're a kid, well, when you're my age and you were a kid 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you know, you got tons of vaccinations. And yeah, it crippled a lot of kids getting these vaccinations because they're not safe. I mean, people have reactions to them. And they can cause damage. Yeah, they suck. Some of them, some people, you know, some people die from getting vaxxed. But I don't remember, and I probably wouldn't, but I bet you could look back in the history books and say, so, you know, measles, mumps, and rubella. how many people got vaccinated with it, and a couple weeks later they were like, oh yeah, I had my vaccine and now I have measles. No, I had my vaccine, now I got mumps. I had my vaccine, now I have rubella. I had my vaccine, now I have swine flu. Yeah, vaccines suck, but this the current one is freaking horrible. I mean, if I was the person or the company who created this vaccine, I would start hiding my name. Because this, you certainly couldn't call this a success. And yet they just keep pushing it. They just can't stop pushing it. It's the only answer out there, which is not true. And we're going to hopefully cover some of that today. Hey, let me share with you guys, because some of you guys listen to me regularly. So I'm using two different new things this week. One is it's just a text editor, but it kind of puts things in a certain format that makes it really easy for me to go from reading the notes to posting them wherever I post the show. So that's really cool. And we'll see how it works. it's actually pretty cool. It has two windows, like side-by-side windows, and one of them is in HTML and one of them is in text. And if you click on a link in the HTML side, it'll open it up to the website and you can, you know, read the article yourself or whatever. So that's cool. But the text side makes it easy because some sites I post my notes on, they don't like to have active links in the show notes. So it's just a text link and you have to copy and paste it and it's no big deal. And it just has made it really easy to do the notes. And then the other thing I did is I put a 30-minute silence MP3 in. So it's just playing away in the background, silent MP3. The reason is because about halfway through the show, I do like to take a break and, you know, have a drink and kind of look at my notes if I'm kind of not going in the right way or kind of prioritize what I want to do next. And it's just nice to have a little break instead of talking for a solid hour. Hal Anthony does it for like 2 hours. That guy is crazy. You can catch him on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern. He has a great show there, Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony. Anyway, that guy, he doesn't take a break. I don't even think he stops to drink like I do during the show, but I don't know. It's pretty cool. Good show. And we have more shows coming, I know, on Real Liberty Media. This is kind of awesome. It's kind of an exciting time. Anyway, I just wanted to share those two things with you. Two new things that I'm using in the studio here. Oh, and by the way, the studio is getting like a makeover. Yeah, mostly just organizational stuff. Hey, Vinny. Mostly just organizational stuff. I'm I just wanted a little more room. I wanted it a little bit neater. Just needed a little change. So changing some things around. And actually, I'm thinking we're going to do some video at some point for BitChute and some of the other sites that we post to. And I mean like video, live on camera video. So I want my background to be a little different. So, you know, there's just some stuff going on there. But anyway, back to what I wanted to talk. Oh, the reason I mentioned the 30-minute silent thing is because here's what's going to happen. At the end of that 30 minutes, I have a song that's going to start up, which is going to tell me, hey, it's time to take a break. So I will basically let the song play. I'll take a little break, and then I'll come back when the song's over with, and we'll continue with the show. But anyway, I'm just playing around with stuff, trying to get some timing things down, and So don't be surprised at the end of the 30-minute silence, all of a sudden a song's going to come on, and I'm just going to say, okay, I'll be back in a minute. But anyway, I'll tell you one of the funniest things that I've heard this past week was Whoopi Goldberg's reaction to getting COVID, because she was like double or triple vaxxed, had her booster, stays at home, doesn't go out, doesn't have visitors, doesn't do this, that, or the other. She's been a good little girl, and she got COVID, and she couldn't understand. She just couldn't understand how she got COVID. You know, I don't know why it was such a surprise. If she actually listened to anything other than her liberal friends, radical liberal friends, she would have known that people with vaccines and with boosters and basically with all the horse crap that everybody's telling you have to do to protect yourself from COVID, yeah, you're going to get COVID anyway. So then she says, after all of this kind of explanation about being totally vaxxed, having her boosters, staying at home, social distance, masks, never leaving the house, doesn't have anybody over, somehow got COVID, she says, but this is going to be what happens to people if they don't get their vaccine. I'm like, do you even listen to what you're saying? Like, do you even listen to what you're saying? You just said you were totally vaxxed, that you had boosters, that you stayed at home, that you wore a mask, that you did everything you were supposed to do, and you still got COVID. And somehow that, like, emboldens your argument that people need to go out and get vaxxed. Are you serious? But this is what happens, I think, when you don't have friends. It's like, oh, I was going to make a horrible comparison, so I won't. Yeah, I won't. I'll leave that one alone. Okay, I'll make it very generic. So if you don't have any friends, you can put on like certain clothes, like you're going to go out to dinner with your friends, right? And none of those friends tell you how stupid you look. And you go out looking like that. And I think that's the same kind of thing as having these kind of friends in your little circle that don't tell you, you know, the things you really should know about, you know, what's going on in the world right now. And for you to actually go through that whole diatribe about being totally vaccinated and following all the rules and still getting COVID and then saying, that's what's going to happen to people if they don't get vaccinated. Wait, it happened to you and you were totally vaccinated. Was it the Antarctic team? Yeah, it was the Antarctic team. You know, they're isolated out in Antarctica and somehow they got COVID. They're totally vaccinated. They did all this stuff and they got COVID. Yeah, so Pfizer, for some reason, man, and Moderna, and whoever else is making this jab juice, man, I would be embarrassed to put my name on it. Like, flat out embarrassed to say this is our vaccine. It's horrible. But kind of along those lines, kind of what I was getting at with this whole institutions of higher learning and all of these places, like, oh, crap. Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota fired 700 employees who didn't get vaxxed. All of these giant corporations, all of these institutions of higher learning, all of these people have now, if you weren't leery of them before now, hopefully, from this point forward, you understand that those people are not working for the good of humans. Why haven't the institutions of higher learning taken the government to task? Like, and actually stood up and spent money on getting the word out that federal government is just evil liars, instead of just, you know, walking in lockstep with everything that Fauci puts out there and the CDC and NIH and Biden and his little crew. All of these corporations are going to have, I mean, I can't even imagine how long, actually the sad thing is I can kind of imagine how long it will be before people forget just how inept these institutions have been. And how kind of gutless these institutions have been. Because they haven't done anything to really help the situation at all. They've done nothing to try and get the truth out there. I mean, they really have done nothing to try and get the truth out there. You know, and everybody can say, well, it's because, you know, big tech has silenced. All right. Thanks for that little break there. All right. Okay, let's get back. Let's get back on track here. I wanted to share a couple things. If you don't know, things that are helpful with fighting any vaccine, I mean, any virus that you have, just stuff that's healthier for your body. You noticed I talked earlier about tonic water. And tonic water has quinine in it, which I had no idea, but they dissolve quinine in tonic water. And it actually is useful in preventing malaria and some other things. But also it's kind of like along the same lines of what ivermectin or ivermectol do. So, you know, it's something that you could add to your daily regimen of stuff that you do to keep yourself healthy in general is drink some tonic water. Anyway, yeah, check it out. It's kind of crazy. I don't know where I ran into it. Oh, I know where I ran into it. There was an article I'm going to talk about in a minute, but I did want to kind of cover this one thing. I thought this was awesome, although we'll see if this actually plays out to be true. But remember, Pfizer wanted 75 years to release its safety data. And I was talking about this, I don't know, a week or two or three ago. I don't know. I was talking about, you know, how, you know, we have these things called computers now. And computers can actually go through and redact stuff from your documents, you know, so you don't really need to read each one day by day. But Pfizer wanted 75 years. Because, I don't know, I forget what rate they said. They could only do so many pages a day, you know, to redact, I'm sure, names and results that they don't want the public to know about. Well, a federal judge on Thursday, which was probably a week ago, gives the FDA just over 8 months to produce Pfizer's safety data. So that judge at least is saying, no, 75 years is a little too long. Can you guys even imagine? Okay, so Pfizer, had like 1 year, maybe, something like that, to produce a vaccine, their whatever they want to call this. Like 1 year, okay? And the paperwork, apparently, that generated in that 1 year, which, so think about this. Nah. So it would take 75 years for them to go through their safety data to make it presentable to a judge, I guess. That's what they're saying. Even though, you know, apparently, like, COVID hit, and then it was like, okay, Pfizer, let's have your best stuff. And Pfizer got on it and they created this juice. And then, of course, we know how bad that thing is. Leaky, at the very least. But yeah, 75 years they want before they resell information. And this judge said, nah, we're thinking we'd like that information in about 8 months. How does that sound? We'll see what Pfizer has to say about that. But yeah, you know that anybody who wants to hide something for 75 years, you know there's some dirt in that stuff. Man, I bet there's going to be some documents disappearing here pretty quick. Like they're going to show up in court. You can almost tell this is what's going to happen. They're going to show up in court and they're going to be like, okay, judge, here you go. Here's all our safety data, and it's going to be like 8,000 pages. And a judge is going to be like, this is like 8,000 pages. Like, I could probably read in the next month. So why did you need 75 years, you know, to redact this stuff? And then they're going to notice, somebody's going to start reading the data, and they're going to notice these gigantic gaps in documentation because somebody probably is feeding the shredder right about now. I mean, first Pfizer will probably, you know, file for some kind of, like, I don't know, you know, exception, like, hey, we really need you to rethink this, judge, so we're not really satisfied with your decision. So, you know, and then there'll be some ruling on that. And then if the judge says, no, now we wasted another month or two, so now you get 6 months. Yeah, you could imagine that shredder machine is going to be busy. There's not going to be any documents, you know, leaked out of that place. I'm sure they've got them all tidied up right where they want them right about now. Oh, okay, let's get to the good stuff. So, tonic water. Quinine, good for you. Oh my gosh. But see, then I started to go through my notes. I'm like, oh, but I got to talk about this too. Yeah. This is like another disaster coming out of this lockdown crap for the past 2 years. So it says deaths among people aged 18 to 49 increased more than 40% in the 12 months ending October 2021 compared to the same period in 2018 to 2019 before the pandemic, based on death certificate data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which I don't know how much you can trust them, but in this case, it's kind of favorable. CDC data on the exact causes of those excess deaths aren't yet available for 2021, aside from those involving COVID, pneumonia, and influenza. There were close to 6,000 excess pneumonia deaths that didn't involve COVID-19 in the 30 to 39 age group in the 12 months ending December 2021. Influenza was only involved in 50 deaths in this age group, down from 550 in the same pre-pandemic time period. Remember, the flu disappeared. The flu death count didn't exclude those that also involved COVID or pneumonia. It says a chunk of the mortality spike could be likely explained by drug overdoses, which increased from about 72,000 in 2019 to more than 100,000 in the 12 months ending May 2021. About two-thirds of those deaths involved synthetic opioids, including fentanyl, that are often smuggled into the United States from China through Mexico. And then meth and some other overdoses. So basically what they're saying is for people aged 18 to 49, they've had this increased mortality rate just in the last 2 years. And that's really something when you think about it, that just in the last like 24 months, and not because of COVID, the actual virus or cold or sickness that is going around or supposedly exists, but because of the results of all of the mandates and restrictions that have been put in place by governments, by people. It's actually people that have killed people and actually lowered your lifespan as an 18 to 49-year-old. Higher mortality rate. We're killing more younger people faster than we did 2 years ago. And not because of COVID. Not because of COVID. I heard an interesting statement last night that still heart disease and strokes are the leading causes of death. It, you know, for these all of these populations, not all, I'm sure, because some countries have bigger problems. But that's kind of interesting that, you know, we've kind of ignored all of that stuff along the way here that, you know, everybody's kind of concentrated on terrifying people about COVID so much that, you know, we tend to forget that still the leading causes of death are heart attack and stroke and high blood pressure and diabetes and stuff that, you know, stuff that has been killing us forever anyway. Let's get to the good stuff. You guys see Macron? He said he wants to bully the unvaccinated. He said he just wants to piss them off. He wants to put so many restrictions in place that people just get pissed and go get a vaccination. What a dick. Oh, and you voted for him. Well, good for you. Wait, I don't know. Do the French vote? I don't even know. Anyway, let's talk about some of these things that are good for you. I thought this was kind of interesting. Okay, whoops, I hit the mic. Did you guys all hear that? Crap. I hope it didn't make a horrible sound. Doesn't look like it. All right. Don't forget, tonic water, quinine. There's some kind of link between that and ivermectin or, you know, anti-malarial drugs, and apparently it's really good for you. I'll get it straight by next time. I'll share with you next time what the deal is. This one article says, is niacin a missing piece of the COVID puzzle? B vitamins play many roles in COVID-19 disease process, including, importantly, B vitamins can influence several COVID-19 specific disease processes, including viral replication and invasion, cytokine storm induction, adaptive immunity, and hypercoagulability. And that paper goes on to detail each of the B vitamins, how each of the B vitamins can help manage various COVID-19 symptoms. And I'll have a link in the show notes and you can check it out yourself. But, you know, a lot of you already are taking vitamin C and zinc. Those are both great, apparently, for fighting viruses of any kind, so that's a good thing. But don't forget your B vitamins. You know, protect yourself from whatever they're going to throw at us next. You know, a lot of people, okay, so I'm not so sure COVID exists, actually, because it's never been isolated. But this is what I'm concerned with. Fauci's a crazy bastard, and I don't think he cares one single bit for humanity at all. Not at all. He never has. I mean, he's killed a lot of people with his experimentations. He didn't stop with bats, rats, or beagles, or monkeys. He moved right on up the line to, you know, us human beings. And I'm sure this is in some strange way just a way for him to collect data on whatever the hell it is that he's working on. But let's say that this isn't, let's say it isn't a virus. But, I mean, what's the next thing that he's going to throw at us? What else does he have in store? And maybe that's it. Maybe this is just a big smokescreen so everybody's thinking about viruses when it's going to be something else. I don't know. But, you know, what we can do is do the best we can to take care of ourselves. So some of these things, you know, come in handy. So B vitamins. A lot of people have taken B vitamins for a long time. It used to be a thing like 20 years ago. People used to walk into the office or some offices and, you know, there'd be like this B vitamin party where everybody get a shot of B vitamins because apparently it helped you get through the day, like kept you kind of even keel and healthy. So anyway, so B vitamins apparently are good at, you know, fighting viruses. Now, this next one I thought was pretty crazy. This is it's called curcumin, and it's a polyphenolic compound from turmeric, and it gives the spice its yellow color. It says, recent research shows the biological activity curcumin reduces the severity of COVID-19. The results rank curcumin in the top 5 substances of 25 tested when used early to reduce illness and death from COVID. Turmeric is a perennial plant, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like in the ginger family, found native to southern India and Indonesia. Like ginger, it is the underground rhizome that is used in cooking and for medicinal purposes. Traditionally, it was used in Ayurvedic medicine and traditional Chinese medicine. Well, there you go. In the current environment, researchers have been studying anti-inflammatory compounds in the effort to reduce the severity of COVID-19. After multiple studies, curcumin outranks zinc, quercetin, melatonin, remdesivir, which ranked, you know, 24 out of 25 substances. And quercetin, I think, is the thing I was reading about when I came across quinine and tonic water. I could be wrong, but like I said, I'll straighten that out and we'll have a more definitive answer for you next week. Hang on one sec. Okay, back at it. Let's see. Oh, and then, let's see. Okay, one thing I did want to cover this week. So we talked about, turmeric. We talked about B vitamins and quinine, so that's pretty cool. I wanted to share this. And I think I actually talked about this a little before, but actually here's a breakdown. Oh, darn it, doesn't have dollar amounts. But so one of the docs who was talking about why people get diagnosed with COVID when they go in the hospital, they actually put out this document. I'm just going to kind of read over some of this. The CDC and WHO protocols are designed to capture, create a sign COVID-19 to SARS-CoV-2 through unscientific standards, which in a world truly governed by objective science would be immediately denounced as fraud. Hospitals have been incentivized to falsely label hospitalizations and mortalities as COVID. The Association of Physicians and Surgeons issued a report on organization's website on 11/17/21. Documenting the payment incentives. The hospital payments include a free required PCR test in the emergency room or upon admission for every patient with government paid fee to hospital. The PCR test is unsuitable, of course, for detection of SARS-CoV-2. An added bonus payment for each positive COVID-19 diagnosis, which, of course, if this test is so bad, it'll give you false positives. Another bonus for COVID-19 admission to the hospital. A 20% boost bonus payment from Medicare on the entire hospital bill for use of remdesivir instead of medicines such as ivermectin. Another larger bonus payment to the hospital if a COVID-19 patient is mechanically ventilated. More money to the hospital if cause of death is listed as COVID-19, even if patient did not die directly of COVID-19. And a COVID-19 diagnosis also provides extra payments to coroners. I know, right, Rob? I don't blame you. Did you know that I call him Fauci, Fauxci, said this. Dr. Anthony Fauci explained in an interview that the actual goal of early COVID-19 vaccines isn't even to block infections, a detail that people should be aware of even before considering whether to get a vaccine or which vaccine to go for. Instead, scientists are aiming to prevent severe COVID-19 cases or stop symptoms altogether, which is complete BS. No, I don't blame you a bit. I don't blame you a bit, Rob. Not one single bit. Oh, but like I was saying about Fauci, Fauci killed, he's killed rats, he's killed dogs, had beagles eaten alive by sand fleas. I mean, he sedated them, which I guess you could say, is somehow, I can't even say it's humane. I think, you know what I'd like to know? I'd like to know what that particular study provided to the world. I'd like to know what solution came out of having sand fleas eat beagles while they're alive. Yeah. I mean, at least we have the information that that's something that Fauci was in charge of. But, have no idea what it led to. Did it lead to something good? I mean, sand fleas offer some kind of interesting information or some strange medical finding that prevented cancer, prevented suffering, or prevented, healed people from some ailment. Or the same thing with the primates that Fauci, I think he was doing some kind of a fear experiment, like terrifying these monkeys. I don't know, man. But the world is crazy. It's a crazy, crazy place. Hopefully you found some of this, a couple things and things you can do to make yourself a little more healthy or to fight viruses a little bit better, just for any virus, flu viruses that are go around, just having some of this stuff adding to your daily regimen, whatever it is. I mean, really, the bottom line, eat fruits and vegetables, eat a healthy diet. We probably wouldn't have to supplement with vitamins if we all ate well, if we actually, could get our hands on decent, healthy foods that aren't covered with pesticides or haven't been GMO'd so much that they can resist herbicides or resist, the effects of pesticides. But I don't think we, it's hard to come across that much. It's hard for people to eat well, I think. A lot of us, it's not that hard. We either grow our own food or we have access to really good food that's either locally raised, farmers markets, or your friends and family share food. But some people, I'm not kidding. Like, I think it's so much less out of pocket expense to just go buy a $5 meal at some fast food place and feel like you're satisfied. And there's not a whole lot of fruit and vegetable in those meals, but they're cheap, man. And you can feed your family for not very much money, but the long-term effects of eating that way is not going to be good. In the long run, it's going to be more expensive, but a lot of people don't end up having to pay for that anyway. Okay, well, last week I was going to do a show on Wednesday, and I sort of got sidetracked, and I thought we were going to be doing something else, so there was kind of a meeting planned, and we kind of didn't really do that either. So I am really going to try and do a show this Wednesday. And I think everything will be okay for that. So I'll see you guys then. Hey, but I did have this, I did have this live recording from the January 6th committee. This is actually really fun. See you guys next week or Wednesday.